Welcome back to the deep dive. So today we're looking at what I can only describe as a sleeping giant. I want you to picture a library, a massive digital library that's been quietly building for 22 years. We're talking about a website, mylawquestions.com. You've probably landed on it when you were, you know, panicked about a landlord dispute or something.
Oh, for sure. It's a staple of the, let's call it the informational internet.
Yeah.
They have over 250,000 fact-checked articles, 40 million readers a year. It's a staggering amount of human knowledge.
It really is. I spent some time this morning just digging through the archives, and the breadth is, well, it's everything. What is a binding contract? What constitutes text harassment?
Do I have to tell my landlord about my emotional support animal?
Yeah.
All the big ones.
Exactly. It's an encyclopedia of, can I do this? But, and this is the big but we are wrestling with today, all of that value is locked in text, just millions of words on a screen.
Which brings us right to the core problem we're unpacking. We call it content saturation. I mean, we live in an economy where distribution is basically solved. You have Google, Spotify, TikTok. The shelves are infinite, but filling them.
Production. That's the bottleneck.
That is the bottleneck.
Yeah.
Because writing is one thing.
Yeah, I can write a blog post in an afternoon. But making a video or a podcast, that's a whole different beast.
It's a completely different supply chain.
Yeah.
And you think about MyLawQuestions. They're a legacy publisher. They have the trust. They have the data. But if they wanted to convert those 250,000 articles into podcast episodes manually, I mean, where do you even start?
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. They have traffic. They have revenue. Why couldn't they just hire a team, get some interns, some editors, and just churn it out?
Let's run the numbers on that because it gets ugly fast.
Mm.
The data shows a single, you know, high-quality podcast episode.
Mm.
If you're outsourcing it, you're looking at anywhere from $100 to maybe $15,000.
$15,000? Wow.
Yeah, depending on the tier.
Yeah.
But let's be generous. Let's say they can do it scrappy for $100 an episode.
Okay, $100. Seems manageable.
Now multiply that by 250,000 articles.
That is $25 million.
Exactly. And that's just for audio. Video is exponentially more. So you've got this trusted publisher sitting on a gold mine of data, but they're stuck in the text era, while the user, you, me, everyone listening, is moving to audio and video.
They're paralyzed by the cost of production.
Completely.
So enter the solution. We're doing a deep dive today into a tool called Auto Content API. And I want to be clear right off the bat. I know our listeners are skeptical of the hype. This is not just another chatbot you talk to.
No, no. This is infrastructure.
Yeah.
Think of it like an industrial content transformation engine. It's a pipeline.
So the mission for this deep dive is pretty specific. We're going to map out exactly how a text-heavy giant like MyLawQuestions can use this API to transform from a blog into a multimedia empire. We're talking about dominating search, social, audio, all without hiring a massive production team or spending that $25 million.
We're going to look at how they can take that static text and just make it fluid, make it move to wherever the user actually is.
Okay, so if we accept the text is locked up, how do we unlock it? I guess the first step is meeting people where they are, which these days is usually with headphones on.
Right. Think about the user for MyLawQuestions. They call them the learner. Maybe they're stressed, maybe they're in a dispute, maybe just curious. But they are not always sitting at a desk.
No, they're commuting, they're doing dishes, they're walking the dog.
And trying to read a 3,000-word article on procedure for small claims court while you're walking the dog is, it's miserable. It's high friction.
Right. So the API comes in here. The source material compares it to a Notebook LM API alternative. Now, we've played with Notebook LM. It's that Google tool that makes audio summaries. It's cool, but it's a consumer toy, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You have to drag and drop files manually. You can't run a business on drag and drop. MyLawQuestions need scale, automation. With the Auto Content API, they can programmatically convert their articles into audio. And we're not talking about some robotic text-to-speech voice just droning on.
That's the key part for me, because if I click listen and it sounds like a 1990s GPS, I'm out. I'm closing the tab. The source material mentions multi-speaker dynamics. What does that actually sound like?
So it generates a script for two hosts, kind of like us, actually discussing the legal concepts.
Yeah.
It mimics the flow of a radio show or a podcast.
Oh, okay. So it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. Instead of just reading a statute, one voice might ask, so what does quiet enjoyment actually mean for a tenant? And the other voice explains it with an analogy.
It makes the content bingeable.
Exactly. It moves from a lecture to a discussion.
Yeah.
And the scale is the really impressive part. They could process 100 or even 1,000 articles a day. It's what they call headless content production.
Okay, break that down for us. Headless sounds a bit ominous. What does the plumbing actually look like for, say, a developer over at MyLaw Questions?
So imagine a workflow with a tool like Make.com or Zapier. A new article gets published on MyLaw Questions, let's say new e-scooter laws in Paris. That event sends a webhook, a signal, to the API.
So no human has clicked create yet. This is all automated.
Zero human involvement.
Yeah.
The API gets the text. It parses it, understands it's a legal update, not a recipe. It writes the two-host script, selects the voices, maybe a serious tone for bankruptcy, lighter one for scooters.
Right.
It generates the MP3, creates cover art from the headline, and pushes it all back to the site.
And updates the podcast feed.
Simultaneously.
That is wild. So suddenly, My Law Questions isn't just a blog. It's a podcast network with potentially thousands of episodes, all generated in the background.
And this leads to a huge strategic benefit, something called audio SEO. Search engines are starting to index audio content. If you have a podcast player embedded at the top of every single article, you're increasing accessibility, sure, but you're also keeping people on the page longer. And you're opening up a whole new channel of traffic from Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
You're fishing in a pond where you didn't even have a line in the water before. But let me push back on this a bit. Is there a risk? If you flood Spotify with 250,000 episodes of AI-generated legal talk, does that dilute the brand? Does it feel like spam?
That's a valid concern. You don't want to just spam. But remember, this is all based on their fact-checked articles. The source material is high quality. The API is just changing the container. It's not hallucinating new laws. It's just engagingly restating the verified text. So it's about accessibility, not just volume.
Okay, that makes sense. The source of truth is still the article. The audio is just another door in. But audio is just one piece of the puzzle. If we look at the trends, the internet is aggressively becoming a visual medium.
It is. The stats are. Well, they're undeniable.
I saw a number in the research that actually made me pause. By 2025, video is projected to be 82% of all internet traffic. For a site like MyLaw Questions, which, remember, lives on ad revenue, that is terrifying if you're text only.
It's an existential threat, really. If you're not doing video, you're invisible to a huge chunk of the market. But again, it's that cost barrier that usually stops them.
So how does the auto content API solve the video problem? Because video is way harder than audio. You need visuals, timing.
The API proposes a two-pronged strategy here. The first prong is what we'd call explainer videos. These are your standard horizontal videos, 16:9, that sit right at the top of an article.
Walk me through that. Let's take that article. What is tangible property? How does the API build a video from just text?
The workflow is pretty similar to the audio one. The API crawls the page. It extracts the title, the key definitions from the text. It writes a concise, maybe 60 to 90 second script. Then it uses AI avatars.
Avatars. Okay, so we're not filming actual lawyers in a studio.
No filming, no studios. It selects a faceless avatar, maybe a professional woman in a blazer against a library backdrop. It syncs the audio to her lips, adds subtitles, and overlays key bullet points on the screen.
And this happens automatically?
Completely automatically.
Okay, but why? Why does My Law Questions need a 60-second video of an avatar explaining tangible property? Is anyone really watching that?
Google is watching. This is an SEO play. It increases what we call dwell time. If a user clicks a search result, sees a video, and watches for 90 seconds, that signals to Google, hey, this is a high-quality page. The user is staying. The sources say pages with video are 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
53 times.
53. Ah. That is the difference between being found and being invisible.
Okay, so the horizontal video is for the robots, or, well, the search algorithms. But what about the humans, the ones doom scrolling on TikTok?
That is the second prong, vertical shorts. This is for TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. And this is where the cost arbitrage gets really interesting.
I love the math on this. So a manual video hiring an editor, finding stock footage, cutting it, what are we talking, cost-wise?
On the low end, 50 bucks, high end, $300 per video.
And the API?
Roughly 400 credits, which translates to about 4 euros.
4 euros versus $300.
Yeah. And think about what that does to your strategy. If a video costs you $300, you have to be precious. You hope it goes viral. If a video costs 4 euros, you can afford to fail.
It allows for creative testing at scale.
Exactly. My Law Questions can just flood social feeds with legal snippets. Can I get fired for this? Is this contract legal? They can put out 10 videos a day. If 9 fail and get 0 views, who cares? You spent 40 euros.
Mm-hmm.
But if one goes viral and drives 10,000 people back to the site.
You've won. You're basically building a media company without the studio. But let's zoom out a bit. MyLaw Questions is huge, but it's mostly English-centric right now, and the internet is global.
That's a massive limitation for them currently.
But law is tricky, right? A contract in New York is different from one in Paris. You can't just translate the words and hope for the best.
That's true. Statutory law is local. But general legal concepts, conflict management, negotiation, basic human rights, understanding what a tort is, those are pretty universal. And right now, MyLaw Questions is leaving a massive audience behind.
The Auto Content API supports over 50 languages, so what, instant globalization?
Pretty much. Instant.
Yeah.
They can take their top 1,000 performing articles, the evergreen stuff, and use the API to instantly generate Spanish, French, Hindi, or German audio and video versions.
Without hiring a translator or a voice actor in Berlin?
Without hiring anyone. They essentially multiply their total addressable market, their TAM, overnight. If you have the content, why limit it to one language?
But here's the challenge I keep coming back to. A library of 250,000 articles is a beast to maintain. Laws change. If I'm listening to an episode about tax law that was generated 3 years ago, that could actually be dangerous. How do they keep it all fresh?
This is a critical point. Automation can't just be set it and forget it. This is where the deep research endpoint comes in. This isn't just a text generator. It uses agents to browse the live web.
So it's not just looking at their own internal database. It can go out to the internet.
It can go to sec.gov. It can read reputable news sites, check government RSS feeds. MyLaw Questions can set up what they call recurring research templates.
Give me a concrete example. How would that work for them?
Okay, so let's say there's a recurring task to scan for any changes in tenant law in California. The API runs that scan every week. It hits the state legislature's feed. If it finds a new bill that passed, say, regarding security deposit limits, it flags it.
And then what? Does it just send an email to an editor saying, hey, look at this?
It could, but it can do more. It could draft an update for the existing article, or even better, it can generate a new breaking news podcast episode about that specific change.
So the library isn't just a dusty archive. It becomes a living organism that updates itself.
That's the goal. You move from static storage to dynamic intelligence.
I want to pivot to something that feels very now. We talked about the evergreen stuff, but what about being fast? The source material mentions newsjacking.
Newsjacking. It's the art of injecting your brand into a breaking news story. For a site like MyLaw Questions, this is how you become a source, not just an encyclopedia.
So how does the API help here? Because traditionally, law is slow.
It has a social listening feature. It connects to data feeds from, you know, formerly Twitter and Reddit.
Oh, that's powerful. Reddit is where these legal questions often bubble up first.
Right. So let's just role play a scenario. It's Tuesday morning. Crypto crash starts trending on Reddit. A major exchange freezes withdrawals. People are panicking. The subreddits are flooding with, can I sue? Is my wallet insured?
Okay, and usually MyLaw Questions would see this 3 days later and write a blog post that nobody reads because the news cycle is long gone.
Correct. But with the API, the system detects this trend immediately. It sees the volume on the keywords crypto and lawsuit.
And then what happens in the plumbing?
It triggers a deep research task. An agent goes out, researches the user agreements of that specific exchange, looks up relevant consumer protection laws, and synthesizes a legal perspective. It writes a script. It generates a market alert video, maybe a vertical one for TikTok, and it posts it.
How fast?
We're talking minutes. While traditional law firms are scheduling a partner meeting to discuss a blog post, MyLaw Questions has already released a video answering the exact question people are asking right now.
That is the competitive advantage. Speed. In the attention economy, the first one to explain the problem usually wins all the traffic.
Breathtaking is the right word. When you put it all together, we're looking at a complete overhaul of how a publisher operates.
It really is.
Now, we have to talk about the boring part or the exciting part, depending on who you are. The money. Section 4, the economics of automation. We mentioned the cost savings, but let's look at the revenue side. MyLaw Questions relies on ads and affiliate links. They need eyeballs.
And in the world of SEO, we talk about the long tail, right? These are the search terms that maybe only get 50 or 100 searches a month.
The obscure legal questions. Is it illegal to keep a squirrel in Arkansas?
Exactly. Now, in the manual production model, you would never make a video about squirrels in Arkansas. It costs $300 to make, and you will never make that back from ads on 50 views a month.
It's bad business. You'd lose money on every single view.
But with the API, the cost is just cents. If the asset costs €4 or even less for just the audio, it suddenly becomes profitable to make a video for a niche question that only gets 50 visits a month.
Because over a year, those 50 visits add up. And if you do that across thousands of these niche questions,
the aggregate traffic is massive.
Yeah.
You're scooping up all the traffic that the big media companies just ignore because it's too small for their expensive production teams.
This also solves a huge problem in SEO called thin content. Google hates it when you have thousands of pages that all look the same. Just text, maybe a stock photo, it looks like spam. But if every single page has a unique audio summary, a unique video, and unique text,
Google sees that as a rich resource.
And they rank it higher. This is the heart of programmatic SEO, or PSEO. You're signaling high quality at an industrial scale.
And since MyLaw questions like 43% of the web likely runs on something like WordPress, this isn't a nightmare to install.
No, the API has a native plugin. It just injects the content directly into the CMS. So the developers don't need to build a custom video player or audio hosting solution. It just appears in the post.
So let's wrap this up. We've mapped out the transformation. MyLaw Questions goes from a static text library to a multimodal, multilingual automated media network.
They solve the production bottleneck. They lower their costs by over 99%. And they open up revenue streams from video and audio ads that simply didn't exist for them before.
But you mentioned something in the pre-show about the bigger picture, something called the agentic web. I want to close on this because it feels like where everything is heading. What does that mean for MyLaw Questions?
Right. This is the future we're heading towards. It's not just about humans reading content anymore. It's about AI agents reading content. When you ask Siri or Google Gemini or ChatGPT a question, where does it get the answer?
It scrapes the web. It reads the text.
It looks for structured data. It looks for answers that are easy to parse. By converting their text into structured JSON, into clear audio transcripts, into video with subtitles, MyLaw Questions is essentially formatting their data so that the AI agents of the future can consume it easily.
So they're optimizing for the robots that will answer our questions.
Exactly. If your content is locked in a dense, poorly formatted block of text, an AI might just miss it. If it's structured, multimedia, and tagged correctly, you become the authority. You ensure that your answers are the ones served up by the AI.
That is a fascinating way to look at it. You're not just publishing for people. You're publishing for the intelligence that serves the people.
It's the only way to survive the next decade of the internet.
Well, that is a lot to process. But here's the final thought I want to leave you with, listener. We talked about MyLaw Questions, but this applies to anyone with a backlog of content. If you have a library, blogs, notes, reports, white papers, and it's just sitting there as text.
You are letting 80% of its potential value just evaporate.
Exactly. You're holding a winning lottery ticket but refusing to cash it because you don't want to drive to the store. In an age of automated transformation, you have to ask yourself, is your content working for you? Or are you just storing it?
That is the question.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you on the next one.